Thank you, Don. I appreciate it. Thank you, Regina, for that lovely teaching. I listened to part of it before I got home. I think I'll be talking about where I was here in a minute. but before we get started with the talking part of this, let me play a song.
People say I'm crazy. Save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Surely you're not happy now, you no longer play the game. People say I'm lazy, dreaming my life away. Well, they give me all kinds of advice designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball.
Okay. So, yeah, that was, we came in as a highly appropriate song at this point. You know what? It seems like, let me start with some of the story first. It seems like there's a lot going on. There's not really, but it seems like that. I feel like breathless, you know, and what, you know, I got to get this done. I got to get that done. There's really not that much going on. you know, I manage an estate for a friend. His son is a paraplegic, and so I manage the money for that estate. And once a year, there's a report due, and you know, there's lots of investments and two different checking accounts, and so it's pretty involved report. And I know it's due in January. Well, every January. I'm not ready. No one is due in January. I should do it in December, but I don't. Just assuming, you know, hey, I'm going to get more time. And of course, they always give me more time. And anyway, I called in January and said, hey, I need more time. Do I need to send a lawyer in there? Of course, if you send a lawyer in at $350 an hour, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty expensive. anyway, they said, nah, you're good for it. Don't send a lawyer. And I said, well, when's it due? And the clerk, you know, that used to be my clerk is going, oh, we're, you know, don't worry about it. We know you're good for it. Well, I got something in the mail then that said it was due on March the 11th. And I had been kind of working on it, but, you know, a little here, a little there. And, anyway, thought I had plenty of time, even though I had hoped for an April date. And there was like, when I got it all done, there was like a $70 difference in what I was supposed to have and what I said I had. You know, I know all the money's there. It's just like, the paper's got to show that. and in the grand scheme of things, $70 isn't that big a deal. And I'm like, oh, I know what that is. And so I set it aside and then didn't work on for another week. And then I really realized I was running out of time. I had a day where I was working on Awakening Together stuff, and this was just looming, you know, oh my God, this has got to be done. But I don't know, you know, cause so what I did was I came back in, I went, oh, that's not what that $70 is. So I still don't know where it is. So I'm just like, oh my God, just, you know, I have spent as many as 60 hours on one of these reports before. So, anyway, so I fretted about it and just let it lay there. And then, you know, it's like, okay, do the report, no matter what it takes. You got to, you know, roll up your sleeves and get in there and do it. I had actually, there were a number of entries that I had forgotten to make because I had misplaced a bank statement and hadn't gotten it in the report. So when I actually came in here and sat down, I need to do something about sorry about the beep. It's a smoke detector. Anyway, this is a really long story. And the point is, once I put those numbers in, matched up perfectly, no problem. Done in, you know, anyway, that part of it was done in 30 minutes maybe. So, I mean, I made this big deal out of it. Oh my God, I'm never going to be able to find these numbers and what's going on. And as soon as I came in, it was obvious. Okay, here's what you need to do. And I'm like, oh, how nice. Those numbers, you know, there's not even a penny off, you know. So it was just like when I really determined to do what I needed to do, all the tools that I needed were there at my disposal. You know, I lacked for nothing. And then let me close this door for the beep. Funny, we just changed that battery a couple months ago, so I don't know what that is. But the anticipation was much worse than the actual situation, and I think that is always true. We are beginning to look at the issue of. That was why I wasn't in the room immediately. Maybe it's this smoke detector. Maybe it's the one we didn't change the battery in. I really realized I was out of time, and I realized I'm going to need to ship this, like, you know, overnight. And I talked to the woman about it, and I was thinking it was due next Thursday. And then when she wrote it down, she got everything ready. She said, well, it'll be there by Monday. Well, that's the 11th, which is the date that it's due. So it was perfect, you know, that I went to the hairdresser, arrived a half an hour late because I was confused about that. And then on the way back, I stopped at Postnet to get this thing shipped. And, you know, it was like, that's not what I was going to do. I was going to wait, and I was going to see about maybe going to a bank and getting, you know, a notary public because it's got to be notarized, da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, what I needed last night, it popped in my mind, well, I bet Postnet does that. Well, they do for a small fee. And I was there at the right time, and it's going to get there Friday. It's due Monday. I mean, it's just perfect. And it's all laid out in front of me. And all the worrying in the world, you know, as Jesus said, doesn't add another inch to your height. It just doesn't. You know, it's just there's certain, it's absolutely pointless you know, it's a focus on lack, fear, limitation. Boy, am I going to screw this up, you know? And it's just, you know, and I can hear the thoughts too. Oh my gosh, what if this gets lost on the way? And should I copy all this stuff first in case it gets lost? I mean, blah, 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 blah. And as I was saying, we're focusing on, we're just beginning to focus in Gentle Healing Year One on attack thoughts. And as I was beginning to think about attack thoughts, I remembered when I was in Hofmeister's organization, and frankly, it's long enough ago that I can't remember if it was me or somebody else, but there was something like, what if somebody said, what if I get a flat tire? And they're like, oh, you need to let go of those attack thoughts. And I went, attack? Who they're attacking? The car? The tire? What the hell? So I realized, you know, and even still that held confusion for me in my mind. So I realized I needed some real clarification on what attack thoughts are. We're going to be talking about that in Gentle Healing all week this week. So as I sat down to, it's sweet to see Jay and Shauna together there. Hey y'all. So as I sat down to write a lesson the other day on attack thoughts, I asked for help with that. You know, I started with this, I started with that, and I'm like, okay, there is no clarity in this head. So inner wisdom helped me out with this, and inner wisdom did. So I'm gonna read that to you now. I said, I don't know what attack thoughts are. Can you help me understand so that I may teach others? And the response, attack thoughts are very simply a way of maintaining your belief in yourself as a separate individual. For who here would curse his foot for making him trip and fall? You would not, as you recognize your foot is one with you. Anger is merely a way of drawing boundaries around yourself. And we had been directed in this lesson to look specifically at our thoughts of anger. So anger is merely a way of drawing boundaries around yourself. These are, of course, imaginary boundaries, as you could never actually be separate from your brothers. The lesson asks simply that you not attempt to project your responsibility for the wish to remain separate on your brother. If you do so, you are particularly unlikely to perceive your believing attention as the actual source of your upset. Let me pause here to say that I see what's not in here, and I see that the lesson continues, and I'm sure this will come across in this week's Gentle Healing One, the reading and the, as well as the, you know, the writing of the tips. Let me start again with the first sentence here. It says, attack thoughts are very simply a way of maintaining your belief in yourself as a separate individual. And when I read that or wrote it or whatever I did, when that came through, I don't think that I extended that. You know, I'm thinking of like me as opposed to Shauna or me as opposed to Don or Kathy. It's what seems to be really relevant here is actually what Regina was talking about. Imagine that in her teaching. It's like, it's this idea of It's really this belief in myself as an individual. As an individual, as opposed to, not just as opposed to other people, but as opposed to an integral part of the universe. And a part even implies that there's things that need to be put together. No, as an inseparable part of all that is. I see myself as subject to whatever happens out there, as opposed to what's here, right? There's a me, and then there's all this stuff that threatens me, stuff that has to be done, stuff that could go wrong. You know, that completely forgets the idea that I create my experience. You know, this, I just think this lesson coming around with A Course in Miracles is just right on time. I think that there's actually some underlying resistance to this idea that I create my own experience. You know, I like to talk about that, and I like to, Kathy, but you know, I'd much rather quickly shift to, yeah, but you know, there's the collective consciousness, and I can't control what other people are putting in there. and it's true that, you know, what we give believe our believing attention to, we feed into our own microcosm consciousness and deal with it, you know, and then they have the experience from that. And it's also true that we each feed into the one mind, because there is only one mind. But I still am using, I see that I still am using this knowledge of the fact that both things are running, right? The little one and the big one, to eschew, to get rid of responsibility for sight. I can see that. I'm not sure I could have seen it 10 minutes ago, but I can see it right now. So it's a good thing I'm here. Good thing y'all are here. that is actually, that point is really, really, really driven home here in these two places. And it's funny, I read this several times. I printed this out as a tip. You all who look at the General Healing Year tips may recognize it. But let me go back to the meat of it here that I didn't realize was really the meat of it. It says, the lesson asks simply, and it might be helpful to have the lesson. I'm not even sure what lesson this was on. It was, I am determined to see things differently, may have been the lesson. I don't know. I see Shauna looking. If you figure out which lesson I wrote that about, you let me, let me know. Thank you. Here's the meat of it. The lesson asks simply that you not attempt to project your responsibility for the wish to remain separate on your brother. And of course, I would do that by looking out there and I'm determined to see differently, because it was like I am determined to see, you know, look, find somebody that you're angry at, something you're angry about, and say, I am determined to see Shauna differently, right? Right, and that's taking responsibility for sight, because it's not what Shauna did that is the cause of my upset. The cause of my upset is here. It's about what I'm believing, regardless of what's going on out there. So by going, it's Shauna's fault, that's attempting to project my responsibility. So again, the lesson asks simply that you not attempt to project your responsibility for the wish to remain separate on your brother. If you do so, you are particularly unlikely to perceive your believing attention as the actual source of your upset. So I think this takes us right back to, again, Regina's teaching, where the pure mind, or the mind that would be purified, sees everything as temporary while focusing on enduring self. You know, it's really allowing all things to be as they are. It really is the forgiveness process. And so I can see that I'm still feeling at the mercy of. I'm feeling like there's a certain, the Jacqueline has to show up and handle things. And, you know, and I'm shown time and again, everything you need is right at your fingertips. Everything you need before you ask. Your father knows what you need before you ask for it. And it's true. It's right there. You know, I guess the first step in that is really seeing myself as needing. And I thought about talking about that a little bit in these tips this week. It had come in to my mind to look at this issue of, I remember a few years ago here, here in Pueblo, Bentinho Massaro came in and talked to a group of 25 of us. And I remember hearing, like I had never heard before, although, you know, you look now and it's written in all the materials I was looking at the time. You know, the problem is that I see myself as a limited individual. The two parts of that are a problem. The limits and an individual. And that got me looking at that time, and it looks like this lesson's come around again, but that got me looking at this idea of limitation. You know, we've been talking about casting attention, and this week we're looking at what I like to call the perceptual loop, what I think I see, I experience, and what I experience, I think. And so as if I see myself as limited, well, guess what? That's what I'm going to get, right? I'm going to get the sense of struggle involved in that conception of myself. The worry would go right along with that, right? If I'm limited, you know, it's guaranteed I'm going to screw up. I'm not going to make the grade. That's a looming possibility, always. Seemed like there was more I wanted to say about the Bentinho thing. And there is. At that time, I really began looking at that, and it's like, well, it's funny how those things just drop in. It just again, feels like grace to have these lessons brought. But I began then, and maybe I was an MPP, and this was one of the exercises then. I always make up these exercises and find out later, actually, Regina wrote them. But anyway, one of the exercises that I practiced at that time, probably because Regina had me do it, was look at the thoughts in the mind and group them. And I know this is Regina's exercise. Group them in terms of their central theme. And so what I found, you know, and so, I carried a little notebook and did my best all day to, you know, write down, oh, there was a thought about my son, and there was a thought about, I don't know, whatever, the rent payment or what. Well, I don't remember what the specifics were, because the specifics always change, right? But the thoughts, the themes were all the same. Lack, limitation, fear, lack, limitation, fear. You know, so I write down these different thoughts, and at the end of the day, it's clear that they're all going in one of these three categories: lack, limitation, and fear. And what's the fear about? Fear that I'm lacking and limited. So I can see that lesson coming around again, and as these lessons do. And I can see how these are attack thoughts on, excuse me, let me turn this heater off. I can't. Okay. I can see how these attack thoughts are thoughts of separation, and how thoughts of separation are an attack on the truth. Regina said a while ago, inner focus while in, basically I paraphrased to take notes, inner focus while in the world, while you're going about your stuff, purifies the mind. And then I also made a note, allowing all things to be as they are. So I can see that there's still this image of Jacqueline as someone that needs to make things happen. And I'm not saying that things don't need to happen. I guarantee you that report needed to be filed by Monday. But all I had to do to actually let that report get filed was to let it get filed. I just had to get out of the way and get, you know, so I spent a day going, I'm sworn out, and I'm not gonna be able to do it, and it's not gonna get done on time. And then it was there. Everything that I needed was right there. So I spent all day attacking myself. I spent all day reinforcing this belief that they're, that number one, I'm a separate individual. I'm the one that's got to make this happen. I'm going to have to get in there and figure it out. And, you know, and it's going to be hard. And then what if it's not right? And what if I don't get it mailed on time? And what, oh my God, I'm a God. It's exhausting. And for what? It's just a constant attack on myself. And it's okay. You know, I'm learning this until I learn it. Until it becomes natural to be in my right mind. You know, I had that, and I think I talked about it this last week. I had that invitation to speak, on a panel with, people I consider renowned Course in Miracles teachers. And I could see that, one of the things we talked about, you know, ego wants to come in and say, well, you know, who do you think you are? And did you see who else is on that list? And, oh, the interview is going to be terrible. And, you know, they're going to be going, why in the world did we invite her? Or they're not, you know, it's, and, you know, so I could see all those thoughts, but I'm like, particularly, thank you guys for letting me talk through those thoughts with you all, because I was able to see that they were just doubt thoughts. Again, same thing, lack, limitation. I'm going to need something I don't have. And I could see that. And you know, so I could dismiss those thoughts. And of course, we had the interview, and it wasn't an interview. They didn't want to go, tell me what is truth. No. There's no, what are the four principles of God? You know, you get a little stuck on that third principle. So, of course it wasn't like that. You know, it was a nice chat. We had a nice chat. We had things in common, people we knew in common. I mean, it was just a chat. It was very simply a chat and an opportunity for me to become clear about what it was that they were asking of me. And it seemed like, because I was aware of that, I was aware that the ego was doing this, and that, you know, this was a it was a real possibility to just say enough. You know, I know what's going on here, and I'm not buying the story. It seemed like that was actually pretty smooth. You know, I wasn't freaked out on the day of the, you know, the day of the meeting or any of that. But the contrast here is with like what was going on around this financial report and a few other things I have laying around here that need to be gotten to and haven't. It's a lack of awareness that I'm listening to the thoughts. That's the difference. In that speaker invitation situation, I knew the thoughts were going to be there. I know this is an issue for me. You want me to talk? I mean, I could see it. I was looking square on. We talked about it. We talked about it in my weekly gathering. We talked about it here. I was fully aware and able to see the choice. And the difference is what's going on with all this daily stuff that needs to get done. Is that it's just running. And I'm not addressing it. And if I'm not addressing it, that means it's running me. Means I'm listening. And so I stay in this fight or flight kind of, you know, and just feel like I'm running as fast as I can, when actually not all that much is getting done. and part of that is, you know, believing in those thoughts that go, you can't do this. It's dispiriting. It makes me lethargic. So, you know, as we've talked about in general healing over the past several weeks, the first step has to be to become conscious of the stories that you're telling yourself. Because without that, they run like subliminal tapes. You remember when subliminal tapes was a big thing? Oh, put this under your pillow and you'll learn Spanish overnight or whatever it was, right? But that's how it does. I mean, I'm learning what I teach myself, which is you're not gonna be able to do it. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough blah, 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 smarts, whatever it is. So, yeah, so. So like Forrest Gump, and that's all I got to say about that. So, all right, let me see. That's not all inner wisdom said about attack thoughts. So let me see if there's something else. Well, let me just read you the rest of the paragraph so I make sure that we didn't miss something else. The next line is so funny how I write this stuff and it sounds great, but boy, do I miss it. It says, the next line says, we choose that which we wish to experience. And that's without exception. And that's the thought that I need to be willing to accept. We choose that which we would experience. If you choose to continue to experience a world wherein there are attackers and victims, the justified and the unjustified, justice and vengeance, we continue to ask for this type of conflict by focusing on the wrongs wrongs that have been perpetrated upon us by seeming others. If we recognize our true desire to know at whatever level our oneness, which is the truth of our being, it becomes obvious that anger is a step in the wrong direction, or fear, or worry. We focus on the anger thoughts in our minds, no matter how slight, so that we can see how we continue to play out an old wish to see something other than truth. Again, this lesson is an opportunity to see old habits as just that, and to let them go, that we may begin to consciously pursue our true desire. And what really jumped out at me in that reading is, you know, that recognition of the true desire to know oneness. And so what I think that the desire that the middleman desire that I most often go to is what is expedient, what's on the front burner, right? What has to be taken care of right now. And this is not the type of focus that purifies the mind. I know in my interview with John Mark Stroud a couple weeks ago, I asked him something about faith, maybe increasing faith or trust. I might have said trust. And you know, got the quizzical look on his face. And it's like, well, you don't have to do that. That occurs of itself. Of course, I felt like I was driving a specific point that John Mark missed, but but I think maybe it was the other way around. So let me see if I can get to it. Get under it, because I can feel it right here. Gosh, it's the focus. It's a focus on my true desire. So is my true desire to get this done on time, not to pay a lawyer $350 to go in court, this person who invited me to teach see me as competent, have Regina see me as competent, have the general healing students see me as competent? And the answer to that is like, yes, 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 yes. those are the desires that run me. So true desire, allowing true desire to take center stage, really doesn't take trust. It just takes the proper focus. Because again, as I said here a couple weeks ago, and you pardon my French, damn the torpedoes, right? It's like full steam ahead. Whether I have to pay the lawyer to go in there three times and do this, whether they fire me as conservator for this estate, you know, whether I say stupid things in some interview, whether I say stupid things to in general healing, whether all my students, whether these folks go, oh my God, I'll never come back here. It's not about any of that. My true desire is to know the truth of myself. And it might take getting fired, being looked down on. I don't know what that takes. How would I know what that takes? How do I know what's the next thing for me? So anytime I spend worrying that this isn't going to get done, that's not going to get done, it's not going to get done correctly, Regina's going to think I'm an idiot, I mean, and I hear all the different items I could do root cause on in that. But the overarching issue here is the focus on my true desire. You know, pursuing my old desire, our old desire, to see things different than they are, to experience things different than they are, has resulted in the habits that I've talked about. What does it mean, this old desire to see things different than they are? Well, the driver of that whole experience, the setup for that whole experience, is this belief that I'm me and everything else is everything else. And that generates all of those things that need root cause analysis. That one belief. That I may need to push things around, shift things around, pray, cross my fingers, in order that things work out my way. And I see here that Inner Wisdom talked about, you know, seeing old habits as just old habits. But I don't think that we change habits by doing something new. It's a focus. It's a focus. So I don't know. So that begs for me the question of how I keep that that desire in the front of my mind, in the back of my mind, you know, so I don't miss it. And I guess that all I can do is notice its absence. And when I notice that, you know, and I notice its absence by the irritation, and these aren't huge struggles, but I can still feel the struggle, the need to make something happen, to notice that contraction, and to shift my focus. And, you know, since the meditation retreat, and I've had the honor and the privilege of attending two meditation retreats now with Regina at the retreat house, my meditation has really changed dramatically. In the first instance, because, you know, I used to like be looking at my watch at 25 minutes, wondering when I could quit. And these days I'm meditating an hour. That's the, you know, and then often going back to it later in the day. So, but that's the morning meditation now, is an hour. For the most part, being surprised when the little timer goes off, the little bell rings. So in this morning's meditation, man, blah, 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 blah. It was none of that. It was none of that. I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong? Where'd I go? But, you know, that doesn't change what I'll do tomorrow. I'll sit down tomorrow for an hour and meditate. But I think the busy, busy, busy thoughts in there show me something, you know, show me that I've been listening to something other than stillness. I have also been very, very excited. In fact, what I originally thought, I don't know, last week when I thought about it, the song that I might play is Is it Gloria Estefan? Anyways, I'm maybe not. I'm so excited. I'm so excited and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control and I think I like it. because I've been so excited because again, this going in and being still is so invigorating. What a contrast. I don't know, guys. I don't know what else I have to share. I see a note written. I wrote last night, actually, during gentle healing, sitting here on my desk. It says, taking responsibility for where we cast our attention. So that's a good place to start. yeah, so I just, I'll just remain aware and continue to take responsibility as opposed to project it onto some larger collective consciousness. All right, I'm going to read you, I think, yes, I am. I'm going to read you another journal entry that I wrote. I'm not sure that we have time to do it justice, but we'll see. I wrote, I see the fear of the ego, that which I think I am. This fear seems very deep-seated. I am led to ask the ego to join with me to see that this fear need not be. I invite the ego to join me in an embrace of us both. Does this make sense? And yeah, so while we've been practicing with focusing on awareness, this is, seems to be turning from that a little bit to really look at what's going on. And what I saw going on was feelings of fear. What I identified as fear, you know, it's funny because when I talked to John Mark Stroud, he's like, those feelings in your chest, you're calling them anxiety. What if that's your heart open? And I went, oh, there's a thought. I have been seeing these underlying emotions. Hey, Billy, of fear. And so I'm going to begin reading this. I may have waited a little bit late in the program, but that's okay. We can look at it now and more later if we need to. It says, you are beginning to see rejection of a thought, an idea, or an emotion does not allow it to be healed. Rather, healing comes from joining that which is imagined to be separate. There's that idea again. Healing comes from joining that which is imagined to be separate. And again, so I have to ask myself if, you know, I sure don't want to think that I'm repressing, spiritual bypassing, metaphysically ghosting, you know, I'm fine. Really, I'm fine. but I think that it happens. I mean, I think it happens for all of us. And I think it happens even when I think I'm being conscious, when I'm consciously, honestly, courageously meeting these whatever fears, worries, lack thoughts, whatever's coming up. I think that it's that until I have a wholly purified mind, those things are going to exist. So anyway, so I'm looking at this scared part of me and the response that I seem to be getting from inner wisdom is don't reject this. And this may sound familiar or if you all remember what Mary Read talked about, right? Or Jeff Foster, don't reject this. Rejection, rejection's a move in the wrong direction. Rejection is separation, right? It's bring it in. Invite your ego to sit there right beside you. In fact, for the past several periods of meditation, when I have felt that, I have envisioned ego, that scared little or that mean ass, you know, whatever it is, that judge thing in my mind, I've invited to come up and sit in my lap with me while I hold it. I guess I can see myself the way I used to curl up my dad's lap, you know? So again, it says you're beginning to see rejection of a thought, an idea, or an emotion does not allow it to be healed. Rather, healing comes from joining that which is imagined to be separate. How could you be separate from yourself? How could you be separate from yourself? Though this feels like a much more subtle form of suppression, it is suppression indeed to banish ego by force. Ego must be welcomed in and made at home, which is certainly not what we've heard. So you guys feel free to take it with a grain of salt. I'm not sure it's not what we've heard. It's not what I have allowed myself to hear up to this point. And again, it's that idea of you cannot reject. It's all of the same thing. It's like we said in a tip the other day. It's like if there's only one thing going on, if there is only oneness, oneness has to be the giver, the receiver, and the thing given. It has to be. Where does ego fit into that, right? So if I'm rejecting blah, 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 what ego, what coach, what cheerleader's telling me, I'm trying to banish it. I'm trying to like partition my mind and my God, if I haven't spent, you know, all of my life trying to partition my mind already, if we haven't spent as a race, you know, as a being, all of history trying to separate ourselves, I mean, what's going on here? That is what's going on here. So the answer to separation cannot be more separation. It's got to be, come in here, sit in my lap, let me hold you while you tell me what you're afraid of. And then we'll explore together. Ego must be welcomed in and made at home. You are loved. You are love. The idea that you are something different than that which welcomes all things, all thoughts, and all emotions is still an attempt to segregate a part of yourself. As if that were possible. You are at home here. You are welcome here. Let us look together at that which we feared. It is in this way that we can giggle at the absurdity of all we thought was true. When I say rest with me, and Inner Wisdom does say that to me often, when I say rest with me, to whom do you think I'm speaking? Oh, all right. That invitation is genuine. I am not laying a trap that some part of you be ambushed and thereby undone. I am asking you to see that we together have chosen to see as unlimited. I'm asking you to see that what we together have chosen to see as limited and unlovable is not the truth of us. We are that which is loved. We are that which is love. Be with me means come with wholly empty hands. It means do not come with preconceptions of what needs to be banished and what needs and what can be kept. There is nothing that requires rejection. For if that something has been determined to be a part of you, and rightfully so, again, giver, receiver, what the thing given, for if that something has been determined to be a part of you, and rightfully so, how could we reject it? Come lay in my arms and rest here. I will lead you home. Yeah, and when I said that, I just got a picture of, like, you know, two little girls, one smaller than the other, hand in hand, you know, being led home. So, you know, there's no rejection going on here. There's nobody's kicking anybody in the butt and going, go on home. Yeah, we're in it together. So I'm going to continue to explore this, and I will speak more with you guys about it. I love you. Thank you for being here with me.